wake up. Well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a happy, happy hump day. Right now, Chattanooga Trailer and Rental has more truck beds than ever. They're one of the largest truck bed and trailer dealers in the entire Southeast. Utility and lowboy trailers, both new and used, in great condition for great prices. SureTrack, Northstar, Eager Beaver, Jet, Load Trail, and many more. And they specialize in service parts and preventative maintenance after the sale. Since 1974, Chattanooga Trailer and Rental has been taking care of their customers like family. For more information, see ChattanoogaTrailer.com. It is a pleasure to always welcome back into Press Row. Edgar Thompson of the Orlando Sentinel does a great job covering the Florida Gators. Of course, Bulldogs, Gators in Jacksonville. So much at stake this weekend. Edgar, thank you so much for joining us. Unless I'm mistaken, there hasn't been any trash talking yet this week, really, has there? Has any Florida player said anything of note in that vein?
Well, first off, you know what's really at stake this week? Are you going to be at the game?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to have your camera back for you.
There you go. There's a start.
It's sitting by my door. It's been there for like 10 days. I'm like, I can't forget this. So that's the real stake. We got to get you back your camera.
Well, there you go.
There really hasn't been. There was a statement by Sean Davis, the safety, where he said something about DeAndre Swift being an average running back, but then saying he's not your average running back or something. Look, these kids, I mean, it's not the Algonquin round table in there some days, you know what I mean? So, they're 20-year-old guys. I mean, we're thinking about football and girls and, you know, getting through their classwork.
Yeah, I'm a 49-year-old guy, and the Algonquin roundtable just flew right over my buzz cut.
Oh, come on. But I mean, I thought you were going to say you're 49 and you're thinking about girls and football.
My wife listens to the show, Edgar.
Okay, well, I can say it. I'm single. I can say that. But otherwise, it's been benign. In fact, it's weird because it seems that some Florida fans have been trying to create some fake accounts of certain people, like Georgia writers, and they're tweeting stuff on them. And I don't know the whole breadth of it, but someone down here tweeted or retweeted a negative comment by J.R. Reed on the Gators. It was from a fake account from someone at Dog Nation up there in the AJC, you know?
Right.
So that's the only trash talk going on that I know of. So it's been benign. Look, I think these players just realize that, they're in two programs right now that are going in excellent directions, in my opinion, in both cases. For the first time in a long time that both programs have been kind of heading, I think, in the right direction. I was talking to Mike Bianchi earlier, and it's like, if the Gators win this game particularly, you have two coaches I don't think want to go anywhere for a while. You could really actually get this rivalry into a spot place where it hasn't been in a long time, which is like both programs kind of on even footing, with coaches that are going to be around a while, and turn this into like the rivalry that everyone's been talking about it being. Because when you really break it down, you know, one or the other, since Tim Tebow left 9 years ago, I think Georgia's 5-4 in the series, but I think it's been the better program in that stretch for sure. And before that, Florida had won 10 of 12, and then Spurrier himself won 11 of 12. So it really hasn't been like this great rivalry on the field, except on occasion. So I think there's a lot of potential here for this. And so what's the point of the trash talk? And you have two programs that should have mutual respect for each other, both going after the same thing this weekend, and go settle it.
How much fun is that matchup going to be with Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson, Georgia's mammoth tackles, against Florida's edge rushing pressure? with Grenard and Zuniga. I mean, that is going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be great if Zuniga and Grenard are healthy enough to play at their highest level. That's the question. These guys, I mean, Zuniga, man, he's played 10 quarters of football this year. We're entering November.
Right.
He hurt his ankle in the first quarter of Kentucky. He played the first quarter at LSU, re-aggravated. That's it. Before coming into the Kentucky game, he had 4.5 tackles for loss and 3 sacks in 2 games. So he was beginning the year off on the right foot and has been hurt pretty much ever since. Grenard picked up the load from there and was on everyone's midseason All-American team. The guy's been terrific, the Louisville transfer. But then he hurt his ankle against Auburn late, and he's played 7 snaps in the past 2 games, and that was at LSU where he just couldn't go. So they got to be healthy because you're talking about some massive guys. And when you're 263 in Grenard's case and 246 listed in Zuniga's, he's very powerful, Zuniga, but he's given up 60 pounds, 70 pounds, 80. You know, and you got a guy who outweighs you by 70 or 80 pounds leaning on you. You know where that goes? It goes straight down into your ankle. So you need to, we got to see how they can hold up. I think that if they are playing at a high level, it's going to be an incredible matchup. And I think Todd Grantham will be dialing up some disguises, some pressures, and bringing that fourth rusher, as he likes to talk about it, from different places that they're not looking for. So, you know, he'll have some cornerback blitzes mixed in and some stuff. The key, the Gators need to stop the run, first of all. You know, it's old school. I mean, you got to run the ball. You got to stop the run to win this game. I think that the Gators are going to lean more heavily on the pass than the run. They have been all season. 277 passing, 146 running. So it's been a pass-heavy offense, and it's worked pretty well. But they're going to have to establish a run to some degree, but certainly going to have to stop the run, because that massive offensive line and DeAndre Swift are going to be real trouble for the Gators if the middle of that defense is as soft as it was against LSU and South Carolina.
I tell you, another fun thing to this game is you're just like, imagine at SEC Media Days, where I always see you, and you debate who's going to have the better quarterback coming into this game, Georgia or Florida, and it's going to be Kyle Trask, not Felipe Franks. I mean, what Trask has done, and I know Fromm has stumbled a couple of times with the 3 interceptions, and I know the Kentucky game was mostly based on the conditions because it was a miserable night, but the fact that you can even debate the quarterbacks coming into this thing is amazing in a place you didn't think you'd be 3 months ago.
There's no doubt. And Kyle Trask, I was saying earlier, I'm doing like the radio interview circuit today, it turns out, Dave. You know,
you're a popular dude.
Don't take it personally. I appreciate you having me on the show as always, but I've been in high demand because of this game, and I've said it a couple of times. I think that Kyle Trask might be the biggest surprise in college football this year. I mean, name me another one. Now, I mean, Joe Burrow has like evolved maybe more than anybody, most improved player. But I mean, no one thought Kyle Trask was going to even see the field this year. I was hearing last year after he broke his foot, I mean, people on this beat go, oh, yeah, he's gone. I'm hearing he's gone. I've talked to, like, people saying he's gone. Well, obviously that didn't turn out to be true. The kid never wanted to go anywhere, and he stuck around and continued to work and work and develop under Dan Mullen, who's wonderful at developing quarterbacks, as we know. And when his chance came, he seized the opportunity. I mean, other than those 3 fumbles in the Auburn game, and that sounds like a lot, and it is, but, you know, when you're like, other than that, but they still won that game, and he played pretty well otherwise, and he was going against a defensive line like nothing he'd ever seen in his life, and certainly his offensive line hadn't seen. So he has not fumbled since then. He's the kind of guy, he's a quick learner. Yeah, he had a killer interception against LSU. Then he had a tough one against South Carolina that gave him a chance to go ahead in the game. Well, he bounced back from there and threw 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win that one. So he's a pretty resilient kid and a real quick study, and he's outplaying Fromm at this point, in my opinion. Now, he has better receivers. That's the strength of the Florida offense. Kyle Pitts is a matchup nightmare, that tight end.
Yes, he is.
And that's a guy that I would target him a dozen to 15 times in this game if I were Dan Mullen, if not more. But they did it at LSU, and you see how it worked. They stayed in that game till the end. But, yeah, Trask has been unbelievable, man. And he's, when you talk to him, you realize that he's he just doesn't say much. He's very low key, and he's just a guy that's very reserved and calm and poised, and just, you know, handles himself. It's been quite amazing to watch because no one expected it.
You're listening to Edgar Thompson. Does a great job covering the Florida Gators for the Orlando Sentinel. You're listening to Edgar here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Edgar, are you still getting Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts confused?
What, were you talking about the interview with Dan?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I made a comment to him about Kyle, and I'd been talking about Kyle Trask, and he goes, well, Kyle Trask Pitts? Oh, no, no. It was like I mixed up the Kyle. No, I'm not. But I will tell you that Kyle, what are they calling it, K to K or Kyle to Kyle? We're trying to come up with a nickname for it. Fans have tried fruitlessly, really. They're not very clever, but I certainly haven't come up with one. But it is one heck of a connection, and it's going to be interesting to see next season. I mean, I don't want to go too far because I'd like to talk about the implications of this game more, but it's going to be interesting, man, if Felipe Franks, who's still, like, not even, like, rehabbing yet. I mean, that kid had a shattered lower leg that required major surgery. Where is he going to go? Is he really going to try to go to the draft now? I think a lot of people thought he probably would leave, and then Emory Jones would take over. Well, suddenly, where's Felipe going to go? I mean, so you got Felipe, you got Kyle Trask both coming back as redshirt seniors. I guess Felipe could make a medical, which I'm sure he wouldn't. And then Emory Jones will be a redshirt sophomore. That's going to be a crowded quarterback room next year, and I just don't know why you would move away from Kyle Trask given what he's shown.
I've got two more questions, and I'd like to keep them to 30 seconds if at all possible. But one,
okay.
I know we don't cheer in the press box, and we never have, but how obnoxiously entertaining would Dan Mullen be if he walks out of this thing with like a 28-13 win?
That's going to be a tough scenario for me to see. I mean, we won't be cheering for it, but he'll be pretty entertaining during the press conference. Look, Dan has a lot of self-belief.
Right.
And I understand why. I mean,
he's really good now. He's really good.
He's very good. I tell you, I've swallowed the Kool-Aid this month with him. They've played two top 10 teams and a tough team on the road, and the Gators have acquitted themselves incredibly well this month. And this program is a lot farther ahead than I thought it would be.
Very well put. What's your prediction for Saturday? I know you got to write one in the paper. You want to share it with us now?
I don't have to give one, but I'm happy to. I thought coming into this week it would be probably a 1 or 2 point game favor for Georgia. They got a 6.5. I would have taken those points immediately. I thought it was a coin flip game, and I'm leaning toward Florida. I really am. I think like 60-40. But I think that Dan Mullen is a better coach than Kirby Smart on game day.
Man,
I think he's going to have a better game plan, better adjustments, and we'll see if they have the talent to keep up.
You're great, Edgar. You're great.
Edgar, I picked it 27-24 online today at timesfreepress.com in favor of Florida. I've got that same kind of feeling. The only thing I'll differ with you on is, Edgar, this thing's so strange that it would not surprise me if Florida won by two touchdowns or if Georgia won by two touchdowns. And you don't go into this game every year being able to say that.
No, I mean, that crazy things happen. Look, Muschamp in 2014 was going to get fired, and, you know, they ran for 500 yards or whatever. So, and won. So you never know what's going to happen. 27-24 would be a heck of a game to have to write in about 2 minutes with the gun. But all right, man. Hey, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you Saturday. Thanks as always, Edgar. Edgar Thompson does a great job with the Orlando Sentinel. 648-1051 is the number. We'll reintroduce the Papa John's poll question when we come back. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.